Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means Go Out into the Deep, a one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. I'm Rita Halkalane, your host for the next hour for the show, Duke and Ultim, Go Out into the Deep. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless our time together. And I'm asking you to join me as we venture out into the depths of our faith life with Jesus. And where incredible, extraordinary things can happen. So thanks for joining me. Anyway, what a beautiful day. What lovely weather we're having. The heat wave has broken a little bit. It comes and goes still, but it's just lovely. And everybody seems to have fall fever these days. So it's really nice. And I hope you're doing well and that you're enjoying this time of year. Anyway, I spoke to you last week on hope, because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look around and see that there's a great need for hope, true hope, the kind of hope that God gives us, not what the world gives us. And so I'm going to be focusing on that some over the next few weeks. And I hope that it encourages you as it has encouraged me. But I'd like to start today with, I'd like to share with you yesterday at the Sunday Angelus, Pope Francis prayed for a renewed hope for the people of Nicaragua, I can't say it, I'm sorry, where the Catholic Church is experiencing heavy persecution. And I'm reading some of the stuff that I found online so that I can help you understand this a little better. The government has expelled nuns and sent priests and bishops to prison or to exile, seized church properties, monies, belongings, shut down Catholic media outlets. It's canceled the legal status of 1,500 nonprofit charitable organizations, including hundreds of Catholic organizations. It is a very dark and frightening time there. It's very interesting. Some of these dictators and these governments that have the power to just do that, they don't like the people to be helped by anyone but them. So they will be beholden to them and can be controlled by them. They can hang, they can threaten, they can hang all kinds of horrors over the heads of their people to control them. But if, say, Mother Teresa's sisters are in Nicaragua and they're feeding them and helping them medically and all that sort of thing, they're more independent from the government. And so this is why we have to be very careful about how much power we give our own government. Because if we're getting everything from the government, they can control everything that we get and thus control us. So just be careful how much power we give the government. But nonetheless, in Nicaragua, it's a very dark and scary time. And I'm going to read to you what Pope Francis said. Okay? He says, "To the beloved people of Nicaragua, I encourage you to renew your hope in Jesus Christ. Remember that the Holy Spirit always guides history toward higher designs. I'm going to repeat that again. These are words of wisdom. I encourage you to renew your hope in Jesus Christ. Remember that the Holy Spirit always guides history toward higher designs. And I'm going to stop right there for a second, because that is something for the whole world to be thinking about right now. There's a lot of troubles in the world right now. There's a lot of strife and stress, but the Holy Spirit always guides history towards higher designs. Just remember that. Okay, he went on to say, yesterday at Mass, we heard about how some disciples left Jesus because they could not understand nor accept his hard teaching, yet not all left. The 12 remained with him. And Pope Francis also reflected on St. Peter's words to Jesus from the Gospel of John. Remember, Jesus, some of the disciples left because he had been talking about the Holy Communion, Holy Eucharist. His body and blood is true flesh, true blood. Those who want to go to heaven need to eat my body and my blood. And it was a very hard and scary thing for the people to hear. They just couldn't understand it, and many couldn't accept it. And they had been disciples for a while and walked away. But his 12 stayed with him. And he looked at them, and I can just, yesterday when I was at Mass, and I heard those words out of his mouth, will you go too? Will you leave too? I could just see his face, the disappointment. He's offering this profound gift to the people, and especially to those who had been following him, who should have known to a degree, to listen to him. And if you don't understand it, just hang in there. It will become clear. But they left, and I'm sure it broke his heart. I can just see his face. Are you going to leave me too? And St. Peter, God bless him. God bless him. Because he leaves us such a wonderful story in his life. His failings, his triumphs. You can just see yourself in so many ways in him. And so he says, St. Peter's words to Jesus from the Gospel of St. John, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So Pope Francis pointed that out, and then he says, he spoke about how the disciples did not always understand what Jesus said and did, but even when it was not easy for them to understand, they, the 12, remained faithful because they had experienced that Jesus was the answer to the thirst for life, the thirst for joy, and the thirst for love. Jesus was the answer to the thirst for life, the thirst for joy, and the thirst for love. They remained faithful because they had experienced him. Okay, so that created a hope in their hearts. So in Pope Francis continued, for us too, it's not easy to follow the Lord, to understand his way of acting, to make his criteria and his examples our own. It's not easy. However, he says, the more we stay close to him, the more we adhere to his gospel, receive his grace in the sacraments, stay in his company in prayer, imitate him in humility and charity, the more we experience the beauty of having him as a friend, and we realize that only he has the words of eternal life, Pope Francis said. I want to repeat that paragraph. The more we stay close to him, to Jesus Christ, the more we... It's not always easy to be a Christian. It's not always easy to understand the teachings of Christ. It's not always easy to live those teachings and to cling to the truth. And Pope Francis says the more we stay close to him, not walk away, close to him, the more we adhere to his gospel, receive his grace in the sacraments, stay in his company in prayer, imitate him in humility and charity, the more we experience the beauty of having him as a friend, and we realize that only he has the words of eternal life, Pope Francis said. So I say to you, let's pray for the people of Nicaragua, especially the believers. The challenges are extraordinary, and I don't believe that the government is finished with them yet. So please pray for them. And let us take to heart what Pope Francis said to them ourselves. Don't let yourself be like the followers who walked away from Jesus because times were difficult and what he was teaching was hard to live by and to understand and believe. Okay. It's so funny. I came up with this like talk outline that I was going to share with you. And then the next thing I know, I'm 3 minutes away from here and the Lord is saying, switch it up this way. So I'm going to go here, go there. So bear with me. So anyway, the really interesting thing is Pope Francis has declared next year in 2025 as a jubilee year, which begins on December 24th of this year, because that's the beginning, really, of the church year. So a jubilee year has been held every 25 years since the year 1300. Isn't that remarkable? That's what I love about the Catholic faith. We have such a history, and it's so traceable. You know, it's just remarkable. So it's been held every 25 years since the year 1300. This will be Pope Francis's second jubilee, breaking with that 25-year tradition. This one comes only 10 years since the Year of Mercy in 2015. Okay? For some reason, he feels it's essential that we have another jubilee year. And in the jubilee years, there's forgiveness. There's people in biblical times had to give back land that they had taken from others, and just all kinds of very interesting, charitable, and unifying things that happen in a jubilee year. It's a very holy year. And just as mercy was the central message of the last jubilee year in 2015, hope, yes, hope is the central message of the upcoming year. So it's kind of funny that, you know, we're going to focus on hope between now and, you know, probably December to a degree. Obviously, it won't be every week in depth. And, you know, there's a lot going on in the world, and so we'll talk about those things. But by focusing hope, it will help us with the anxieties of the upcoming election season and our concern for our children and our families and the condition of the world right now, our culture. So it's a very timely thing, I think, and I applaud Pope Francis for bringing in the focus on hope in the next jubilee year. So this time together, and also other shows that you will find hope focused on, will help prepare us for that jubilee year, and it will be richer as a result of that. So God bless you as you listen, and help me to share with you the things that he wants you to hear, not what I want to just pull out of my hat. Okay. The reason that I wanted to do this is because I wanted us to focus on Christian hope. It's different than secular hope. Most people think, including Christians, that hope signifies wishful thinking. All right? That it's, I hope something will happen. For instance, I hope that I can get more groceries for $25 today. I hope that my son meets a really good woman that he can marry soon. I hope that my diagnosis won't be too bad. I hope. It's not wishful thinking. It's not. That's what not what Christians mean by hope. And so I want to read to you an excerpt from an article that Dr. Peter Kraft wrote not too long ago. But it was on hope, and I found it. So I think I'm supposed to be sharing his words with you. He has a profound understanding and talent for writing beautifully about our faith. So I'm going to share with you this. And I have a few minutes to do that, so I will. A life without hope is a life in a dark world, facing a dark future. In fact, we cannot live without hope. And this is the intro that I wrote. Dr. Peter Kraft says, we creatures of time are constantly moving into the future, and our eyes are usually facing forward. Hope is like headlights, because it's very hard to see in the dark. So Christian hope is a headlight, shining light on, in the grace of God on the future and on our current situation. So here he goes. This is what he says. Christian hope. The theological virtue of hope is not a wish or a feeling. It is a rock-solid certainty, a guarantee, an anchor. We bury our dead in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. Feelings are subject to every wind of chance and change, from politics to digestion. But Christian hope has a foundation. It is a house built upon a rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. We sing to the little town of Bethlehem, the house of bread from which our souls are fed. It is a house built upon a rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. For Christian hope does not come from us. It does not come from us. It is our response to God's promises. It's not a feeling welling up from within, something we can whip up at will. It is saying yes to God's guarantees. The object of hope is God Himself. It is our response to God's promises, he says. We're saying yes to God's guarantees. The object of hope is God Himself. Hope is thus definite and specific, not vague, because God has promised definite and specific things. That does not mean that these things are always clear rather than mysterious, or that they may not require a leap of faith or a lot of waiting or testing. But it means God, who is not fuzzy and woolly, but sharp and specific, makes promises that are not fuzzy and woolly, but sharp and specific. The promises are written in Scripture, not just in our psyches. Hope is specified by a book, by words, rather than by feelings. If you had the time, it would be an amazing exercise to go through the whole of Scripture, just noting and counting the promises of God. there are well over 300 of them. 300 distinct promises, many of them repeated many times in different forms. Our God is thus a God of promises, and he keeps every one of them to the letter. Promises that come true. One cannot overemphasize hope, because the only alternative is despair, which is worse than death. Better to die in hope than to live in despair. And he goes on with other things, but that I wanted to share that with you because he really points out the truth of our hope in God and his promises is a sure thing. To hope in politicians or you know, promises of governments or even in the neighbor, you know, it's okay to wishful hope, but those are not the rock solid hopes that we can have with God. Okay. But let me go back now. So all right. So basically, how does hope apply to us today? Okay. We see so much going on and so many things that really challenge us, challenge our faith, challenge our hope, you know, but without hope, we might as well just give up. But with Jesus Christ, we always have hope. We always have him to fall back on. You know, the youth of today have not been educated and brought up, a lot of them, with a real understanding of who Jesus Christ is and what he offers to us. There are so many people, unfortunately, who think that if I can't see it, it doesn't exist. Or he's some guy that lived, you know, thousands of years ago. What's he got to do with me? Well, that if that's all it was, I would say the same thing. But that's not all it is, and it's not all it was. You know, we can have hope in him because he was real and still is real. So we have to have hope. If we don't, just think through it a little bit. Even the most non-Christians still have a certain amount of hope. It's built into us so that we will be drawn eventually to the hope that fulfills the hope that Jesus Christ offers instead of just wishful thinking. When my ex-husband up and left me unexpectedly years ago, out of the blue, and he kind of like divorced me, divorced his parents, divorced his friends. It was a very, you know, he was having a crisis and he wasn't sharing with anyone what was going on, including me. So none of us knew. We just thought he'd gone crazy for a little bit. You know, but I remember what I went through. I prayed for him, of course, but I went through a very challenging time because I didn't know many people where I lived, and I had no family there at all, and I felt really isolated and alone, and I started going. I found a church to go to, and that gave me some company and everything. But the reason that I even made the effort and didn't just curl up in a ball and you know, give up was because I knew that the Lord was with me. I knew that he was hearing my prayers, and yeah, I was going to be suffering for a while, but he was also comforting me in that suffering, in my prayer life. He would give me what the Catholic Church calls his consolations. You would feel his presence, you know, and it would be encouraging. I would read the Bible, and he would help me find scriptures that lifted my spirits. I joined a church, and the people there spoke of his love and how he always is there for us, and just really helped me in my younger immature life, Christian life. And it got me through, and I had hope, and I kept going because I knew tomorrow is another day, and the Lord is with me, and he's going to help me. And I'd been through a lot already in my young life that was very traumatic, and he brought me through that, and so I remembered that, and that gave me hope. So if you're going through something difficult, don't give up. Okay, pray. Do what Peter Crafe said. You know, look up scriptures of hope. Look up the promises of God in scripture. Google it. Search for it. I'm not telling you to Google, really. It's just search for it on the internet. Look up these promises. Look up the verses on hope in Christ. And it will encourage you. It will give you hope for tomorrow. Those things haven't changed in thousands of years. Those are the same scriptures that Jesus, especially in the Old Testament, in the Psalms and stuff, that Jesus was using to teach in his time. And it's still pertinent, still absolutely essential for us to know today. All right? In a few minutes, I have to take a break. But I wanted to go on and share a few more things with you about that. Because, as you well know, life is challenging. And we need to have that hope. And also, we need to have an understanding of what this, you know, this life has to offer and what Jesus has said about it. All right, so please stay with me, and I'll be right back. Thanks for listening so far.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rita Halk-Lane, the host of this show, Duke and Altum. Go out into the deep, and we're entering into our second half hour. And I thank you if you've stayed with me, and if you're new and just join me, we're talking about hope. And next year, Pope Francis has declared 2025 is a jubilee year, and the focus is going to be on hope. And so we're really excited about that because the world needs a lot of hope, and we Christians really need a lot of hope to deal with what we're dealing with today. And our hope is in Jesus Christ. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. I want to back up a little bit because we have to have an understanding of this life that we are in here in this world. The next life is hopefully heaven. But in this life, in modern day, when challenges and troubles come to us, we have a tendency to get angry or upset, especially when we see so much hatred against Christians and the church. You know, I have told you many times that I joined the Catholic Church in 1999, and I consider that as the greatest joy of my life. Not because of a building, but because of the riches of the long history that's traced all the way back to Jesus Christ and all of the teachings and all of the understanding that you can come to know based on scripture, et cetera, et cetera. There's just so, it's a rich, rich heritage, and you can really learn from it. But so I'm very, very upset when people who really don't know what they're talking about attack the Catholic Church and Christians in general, whether they're Catholic or non-Catholic, because most people that attack Christianity do not know it, do not understand it. Same thing with the church. The church has always admitted that there's flaws in the people in the church. We're a church for sinners. That we hope to become saints. And some have become saints. And there's even saints that we've never heard of that have been in the background, never recognized by anybody but Christ. So I try to be patient with people like that and try to encourage them to check out the truth instead of the rumors and that sort of thing. But basically, we see a lot of hatred against Christians and the church. It's based mostly on lies and fears and misunderstandings. And it's just not fair is what we think, okay? I'm a child of God, a Christian. I shouldn't have to go through these worries and frustrations and challenges in my life. You know, some of the preachers you hear on TV are talking about, hey, you know, prosperity gospel, you're going to be rich, you're going to, you know, have a perfect marriage, you're going to have every rich thing in life. But in reality, this is not heaven. That is not always going to happen with us. We are all richly blessed in many ways, but that's not really what this life is about. This life is full of beauty and wonderful things, but it's also full of sadness and disappointments and persecutions and things. You just never know. There's different times in history where things have been very good, and then times when things are not so good, like look at Nicaragua now. You know, they have had their glory days, and now they're going through very sad and scary times. So anyway, we have this idea in modern times that, you know, we're believers, and even if you're not a believer, oh, we are educated. We are superior to previous generations. And there is some truth in that, you know. We have a better understanding of science and a lot of things that previous generations didn't have. So we should be able to get beyond these types of suffering and these prejudices. And so, you know, half the people that are attacking Christians in the church are people who are saying they're tolerant. They're not tolerant. Okay. So they're only tolerant of what they agree with. And that's not very wise in that if you never let someone share a view different than what you already have, you are cutting yourself off from a lot of education yourself, of learning in current times, you know, where are people coming from? What are they thinking? So anyway, I wanted to share with you what Jesus said, okay, especially in regards to being a Christian, in regards to being a church member, all right? In the Gospel of John, he says, if the world hates you, he said this over 2,000 years ago, if the world hates you, realize that it hated me first. If you belong to the world would love its own. But because you do not belong to the world, and I have chosen you out of the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you. No slave is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. One of the things that we have to be careful of is mob mentality. We don't want to be a part of a mob. We don't want to join forces with people who hate, and they hate because they've listened to lies, and they have power in numbers and run roughshod over people and organizations that they do not agree with because they don't really know those people and those organizations. Mob mentality is a very, very scary thing. This is what got Jesus crucified. Mob mentality. They listened to the lies. He went from being the one that they thought was should be king to the one they said should be crucified. Boom, just like that. That's what mob mentality does. And we have a lot of mob mentality right now in our nation. So be careful of that mob mentality. All right. And then in Matthew, he says, blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Thus they persecuted the prophets who were before you. If you read the Old Testament, the Lord, you know, people turn their, as nations turn their back on the Lord. We have as a nation. There are we remnants of believers who have not. We love him, we trust him, we pray to him, and we hope in him. But if you read scripture, you see that nations turned against God. And he would always, especially the Jewish people, he would always send prophets and special messengers to them to warn them that they needed to come back to him, that they were living in a way that cut themselves off from him. They chose it, not him. He would keep trying to draw them back. Please come back to me. Please come back to me. I will heal your land. I will give you prosperity. I will give you the things that you desire as a nation. And they would keep on doing their sinful things and not pay attention. And they persecuted the prophets and the men that he sent to them, including Jesus Christ. Including Jesus Christ and Jesus' followers after him. The world is not a good place to place your hope in, because the world turns in an instant. The people that are the glories of certain organizations or political parties today are anathema tomorrow. Depends on how things are going as to how faithful they will be. So just be careful. Be careful. So Jesus is telling us in these two scriptures that, you know, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. This has been going on from the beginning of history. God's people have always been persecuted. They have always been They've always turned away from him, come and gone, that sort of thing. But he never gives up on us, never. And anyway, we see St. Peter says here in his first letter, says, "Beloved, do not be surprised that a trial by fire is occurring among you as if something strange were happening to you. But rejoice to the extent that you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that when his glory is revealed, you may also rejoice exultantly. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let no one among you be made to suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. But whoever is made to suffer as a Christian should not be ashamed, but glorify God because of the name of Jesus Christ." This is one of the things that the Catholic Church has taught me that I never, ever heard in any other Christian denomination. And that is that Jesus is so close to us and so in us and so united to us, or in other words, we are so united to him that when we suffer, when we are persecuted, we are united to him in his suffering and persecution. Our suffering and persecution is not just a worldly thing. It is a united, holy thing, united to him. And it brings great graces, especially if we don't just resign ourselves to these, but we try everything. He wants us to try everything we can to rectify the suffering, you know, going to the doctor or having good friends around us to help us feel better, to defend the church when it needs to be defended. And I'm not talking about with guns. I'm talking about with our letters and our prayers, and to and the speech that we offer. But whenever there's something happening that we is out of our control, he takes it personally. He's so united to us. It unites us with his suffering and with his hope and his resurrection that's coming later. So that's what St. Peter is saying. Whoever is made to suffer as a Christian should not be ashamed, but glorify God because of the shame. Rejoice to the extent that you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that when his glory is revealed, you may also rejoice exultantly. There is a saying in the Catholic Church, do not waste your suffering. When you are suffering, for whatever reason, pray to the Lord and say, "Lord, I unite my suffering to your suffering that you gave for the world, and I give my suffering." It's you can even say the Fatima prayer, "Lord Jesus, this is for love of you and the salvation of souls." So St. Peter, it's all through the Acts of the Apostles, it's through the letters. Jesus himself warned us that we will have trouble and we are going to have difficult times as Christians. I love the books and articles and things that I've read in the past from Bishop Robert Barron. He's always stressing the fact that Christianity is not a band-aid, passive, you know, lying in the sun religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ that calls us to follow him. And when you follow him, you will have absolute joy and beauty and wonderful things. But you also are going to have some challenges. And those challenges give you the opportunity to grow in your faith. They give us the opportunity to unite to Jesus and bring tremendous grace into the world because of our sufferings. And we can trust that in the end, no matter what, whether it's in this life or the next, things will be wonderful. Okay. So We don't like to be reminded about these things. We like to pretend that that was back then and this is now. We're more educated. We're better at doing the things that we do. But you know what? I couldn't believe that Vladimir Putin invaded the Ukraine in this day and age. My jaw dropped. My jaw dropped. I thought, have we not moved beyond this type of action in the world? I mean, I expected it to a degree from China and certain other little small countries that we know have had issues with that. But Vladimir Putin and Russia, who has a world stage relationship with a lot of different countries in the West, who has, you know, he hasn't been a good guy, but he has at least seemed to be able to refrain from war in the last few years. But of course, now here we go, you know, and he's no dummy. He's educated. So, you know, how far does education and that sort of thing go to keep people in check? Not very far, apparently. It was shocking, absolutely shocking. But it's a natural part of life is, you know, suffering and challenges, and even a mediocre blah kind of life are a natural part of this life in this world. But I have to tell you, though, Bible, I'm going to read to this to you. Bible scriptures are full of Jesus's and the Lord's, God's words of encouragement and hope. He repeatedly made promises to the people then, which apply to us. And again, promises from God. These are rocks that we can stand on. He said, I'm with you always. In this world you will have problems, but take heart. I have overcome the world. My Father and I will come and live with you. Peace I will give you. Do not be afraid. Focus on me, not the storm, etc. He encourages us to keep our eyes and our focus on what is true. And what is true is what he has said and what he has planned for the world. We get off track and do our own things a lot of times, especially as nations. And we have to suffer for it. Anyway, but you know, the apostles were jailed and persecuted and went away rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. They went away filled with joy because they were being picked on and jailed and humiliated and punished because they were disciples of Jesus Christ. They loved him that much. They trusted him that much. So I just want to encourage you that no matter what we see or experience in our lives and in the world today, never, ever, ever, ever give up. Pope John Paul II said that all the time. Never, ever give up. Never, ever give up. There is always hope. Evil always destroys itself. Jesus wins the victory in the end. Another thing we need to remember, which is very important, we Christians have inherited over 2,000 years worth of faith and martyrdom and truth that have been protected and passed down through all these generations. We can't let that die. We can't. If we let it die, our parents and believers before us and the martyrs and the saints and Jesus himself died for nothing. We can't let it die in our generation. We have to renew it and transform it in the way that we share it, not the truths themselves. The truths are eternal. How we share it, how we live our lives in this present day. We need to be those witnesses of hope and truth to the children who are after us and the future generations. If we aren't, our grandkids and great-grandkids, our own children even, are not going to inherit the beauty of that. We have an obligation. Even if we're not fully engaged in church, not fully engaged in our faith, we need to look back and remember what previous generations went through. It wasn't easy. Look at Papa John Paul. He grew up in World War II and all of the horror of that, and lost his family at a very young age, etc., etc. And yet, the faith was a vibrant and alive thing going on behind the scenes, just like it is now. Behind the scenes, it is going on, and it's growing, and it's beautiful, and we have to embrace that. We have to renew our own faith by finding out the beautiful things about our faith, by trusting Jesus and rededicating ourselves to Him. Rededicating ourselves to Him and allowing Him to show us why the faith has lasted all of these years. And even before He came, the roots of the faith go back to creation. It all has continued throughout salvation history to this very day. And are we going to let it die? Are we going to be the let it die? God help us. Please, please in your heart say no. Even if it's for the sake of your ancestors and the people that gave you Christian values that you maybe even take for granted right now. For the sake of those people and for the people that came before you and for the sake of Jesus Christ. Please, please do not let our faith and church die in this generation and deprive and starve future generations of the beauty and the wonder and the joy of being Christian. Please. Anyway, hold on a second. I have to go back and see. Oh, let's go back to hope a little bit, all right? Let's look at hope from a biblical and church understanding. Hope is one of the three theological virtues as taught by the Lord and the church. Those three theological virtues are faith, hope, and charity. You hear about this all the time. Sometimes you hear faith, hope, and love, but faith, hope, and charity. They help Christians to live in a relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in a deeper, more intimate way. They lead to an intimate and profound relationship with the Lord. And they are infused in us by God. They're infused into our souls by Him to make us capable of acting as His children, being His children, and spending life eternally with Him, not just being with Him in this life, but also eternally with Him in the next. Hope is essential. It's one of the three most important virtues, and one of the things that we have come to understand is the hope that the Lord gives us and maintains in us through grace inspires our activities and makes them in union with God's kingdom on earth and in heaven. We become so close to Him that our activities are actually a part of allowing the world to experience the kingdom of God now in this life. you know, Pope Benedict XVI talked about how, you know, somewhere along the line we got this idea that we live this life in union with God because we want to get to heaven. Well, yeah, so we'll live in heaven. Well, yes, that's part of it. But being in union with the Lord now in this life brings so much to this life. That's wonderful. Okay, and so it says, hope in the Lord helps keep us from discouragement. It sustains us when others abandon us. Opens up our hearts in expectation of good things coming out of bad and for us in heaven. It preserves us from selfishness and leads us to the happiness that flows from a loving, hopeful heart. It is imperative that we study the hope that the Lord gives us. Not to just be wishful thinkers. Because when we have that hope, when we understand the promises of God for us, it changes us. Pope Benedict says in his encyclical Spe Salvi, on Christian hope, which we will be looking into, he says in paragraph 2, it says, the gospel is not merely a communication of things that can be known. It is one that makes things happen and is life-changing. The one who has hope lives differently. The one who hopes has been granted the gift of a new life. The one who has hope, Christian hope, lives differently. We see the world differently. We see troubles differently. The grace of God gives us the ability to see beyond what's happening right now, to find solutions to problems, to see a better way, to help the world grow out of those problems in our own selves. It says, the one who hopes has been granted the gift of a new life, a new perspective, a new way of living, and that is with Jesus Christ. So, I have to go, but next week we're off because it's Labor Day, so you won't be hearing me live next week, but you'll hear a rebroadcast, and then after that we'll be together again, and we'll be talking about hope and whatever else comes up in the news and that sort of thing. And I just want to encourage you, you know, pray and be quiet with the Lord. Let him fill you with his hope. And until we are together again, I'll pray for you. Please pray for me. God bless and keep you all. And thank you so much for hanging in here with me. I hope it's been a blessing to you. You're a blessing to me. God bless.